Father, help Pastor Sean today not to have a tone. Help me to pick up your tone, to be on your rhythm, to be in harmony with you, Lord. We'd be, Father, flowing through this word and cleaning out our hearts and becoming the better versions of you that we're supposed to be. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. I was going to start out with a song. I don't have it queued up because I thought for sure that my production director, Dr. Heidi, would have cut it instantly. So I went around that. Anybody know the song by James Brown? War! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War! Right, you know it. All right, I want you to hear that rhythm in your head. Okay, we're going to sing it different. Are you ready for this? It's going to be this. Pride. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Huh. Pride. Huh. What is it good for? Say it again. We are the church. We are the worship team. I'm so proud of you guys. Worshiping, strings break. Things go off. You guys just keep worshiping. It's the best place to be on a Sunday in the world. I love it here. I just needed to sing that song, see what your life level was at, too. Some of you are like, well, what's going on? He's singing James Brown. We're in trouble. You just say, bring it, Pastor. You know, Pride just might be the original OG of all. I haven't seen the new logo. Excellent. All right. Kirsten, my logo director, she's always taking care of stuff, you know. Pride just may be the OG of all sins. Picture this, right? We're in Genesis. I'm going to summarize it. Picture, paraphrase in the garden. This is Satan talking to Adam. God doesn't know what he's talking about. Just do it, man. You'll be like him. That's what he's afraid of. You're going to be like him. Just do it. Who's him to tell you what to do anyways, right? Who is he? Man, you eat the fruit, you'd be like, I'll tell myself what to do. Wouldn't you like to tell yourself what to do? Come on, Adam. Be like him. Try my way. Go on. Pride. The OG sin. Often pride has a price and a lesson. Pride has a price and pride has a lesson. Can you personally ever recall being given a lesson in humility? Anybody ever been given a lesson straight up in humility? Oh, yeah. I'm so grateful to be the pastor here. You don't even know. I'm like, some of these things, I'm going to say it. No one raises their hand. I'm going to have to go like, Andrew, raise your hand. I'll give you a dollar later, you know. Those lessons in humility, we never forget. Like you, as I'm talking about, you're thinking about right now, something like your face like, oh no, don't ask me to share that. Just keep going. Man, I have had multiple lessons in humility. I have. The latest apparently being Samoa, you know, checking on my part. Maybe it was presumption because there's a definition. Maybe I was in presumption. Ignoring boundaries, like some things I get blindsided on, but lately, I got to say, Samoa, I kept seeing little signs and I just kept ignoring them because I'm like, no, he's my homie. He wouldn't do that. You know, no. That's I'm just triggered. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have lessons you learned the hard way? Some of them leave a mark. Some of those lessons in our life we learned the hard way leave a mark, right? They do. Samoa left a mark, and it's still leaving a mark. Can you personally ever recall, you know? Raise your hand if you've ever had a lesson in humility in your life. And I'm going to close my eyes because I want to say this without making you feel bad. If your hand's not up, that might mean one's coming. I'm just saying that's how it works. Ever had your pride wounded? How about injured? How about absolutely destroyed? There you go. Thank you, Harold. Want a real hard fact? Say, of course we do. Give us more. Yeah, great. Here's a real hard fact. Pride always needs breaking. This is a hard fact, man. Pride always needs breaking. Pride needs breaking every time. Broken pride produces something, though, humility. But you can't have humility out first breaking pride. It's tough, right? Humility is a key lesson. a key lesson we really must learn. You can't skip that lesson. If you find yourself with a lot of knots on your head, doing the same thing over and over again, getting knocked down, you might want to go, hold up, what's the lesson here? I don't want to keep taking some tests over and over again. Some tests, I never want to take another math test in my life, ever. Can't stand math. I know my wife's a math tech. I don't like math. I can have a sign at school. I'd be going, no more math. I hate it. Don't want to take those tests anymore. I want to tell you about a story about a man who is humbled, a little excerpt from Sean Capozzi's life. We'll call it the Foolish Man bio. Just a little bit to make the point. I want to draw in some things that I learned out of some humility lessons, and we'll talk it from the Word. And if I get all the way through my sermon today, great. If not, I have next week. I want to slow roll it. I want to chew on it like, well, I felt like I was raked over the cheese grater, but I want to chew on it with you guys. I want to rake you over the cheese grater. My bio of a foolish man. My right knee is one of my hardest pride lessons. If you don't know, I blew my right knee out completely. 4 of the 5 major ligaments gone. 80% of my the cushion between it. What's it called again? Cartilage gone. Just gone. Kneecap caved in. Fractured. I still have bone pieces. You can move around if you want to. Sometime I'll sit there and let you move that bone piece around. It's there. You can do it. I was doing a basketball camp. And the big fact was also what I was doing at basketball camp while I was doing my job, I was training for another job. Ever have one job, but you're like, this is not my job. I'm going to be getting another one. And I know what I want next because I'm tired of this job. I've had those jobs. That was where I was at. And I had this great desire to put physical training into my new career that I had chosen. I had chosen to finally... After now, I started serving Jesus, left a life of thuggery. I thought the best job for me was the Elmira Police Department, probably undercover. Right? Figured that's what I did. And then plus two of my friends, one was already on the force, on his way to become a detective already. And my other buddy and I were training together, PJ. And I was like, yeah, who became a great cop and retired now, both of them. So I was training and coaching basketball and doing a basketball clinic. The 1-2-3 broken. My knee was bent out like an L sideways. I could touch my own ankle in the air. Fell back down, smacked in. Life was changed. Now, I can see it now, though. I thought for the longest time the problem was this. It was one moment of pride. See, what happened was I was tired of this junior high school kid. He was taller than everyone else, and he was just dominating the rest of the kids. He wasn't really learning things. He was just like rubbing their face, talking a little trash. So I thought, I'll play. You know, he's about my height, so I'll play ball. We'll cover each other. I was just schooling this kid. No, so what? He's 14, but I was schooling him, you know. And he got the ball in the post like he usually does. He was going to turn around and do the shot, you know. I came out of nowhere, and I smacked it off the backboard. I'm going to make a point to the rest of the kids. Like, listen to what coach has to say, because coach knows the game. But somewhere in the middle between smacking the backboard, the ball off the backboard, I looked down at my knee. My leg was bent out like an L. And I honestly can remember this pause. It's slow motion. I went, oh, no. Broken. So I thought, there you go. Had to teach a 14-year-old. A lesson, didn't you? You prideful little thing. You 21-year-old, 22, however old I was, 26, prideful pumpkin head. But you know what I started thinking about? It might have had everything to do with my already decided great idea direction for the life I chose. It might have been the direction I chose for the life myself. I decided what was going to be great for me. That particular pride lesson took a bunch of things. It took basketball. It was over. One outlet that I loved, gone. Skiing, no mas. Running and jumping and training and playing with my kids, sadly hindered. I'm now forever handicapped. Lost lots of activities. But the biggest thing to me, the depression set in. I was with my leg up in ice, you know. This is what the pressure was. My career path that I chose was no longer an option. Hope. Gone. Just gone. My family's future, in my opinion, over. Having purpose at all seemed pointless. What am I doing in my life now? Can't be undercover cop. Guess I'll go lay down with the pigs. Broken old man pigs, you know. Pride, all of us should wake up to the, some facts about pride. It's time to be careful of what we think is our right to choose. We got to be careful with what we think is our right to choose. Talking to believers. Relax. Pride's just going to be a quick topic today. I'm not going to talk about the gender issues, but I am going to pause there for a second. It's not back there, Chantel, but in 2 Timothy, it tells me to fight the good fight of faith, finish the race, keep the faith, and firmly guard the gospel against error. Man, sometimes pastor is not a great gig. I'm just saying. Sometimes like, what? Okay. I'm going to make this a side note. I'm not going to make it a big issue. But gender has never been a choice. There's the truth. Here's some things that I know about that. I'm a professional counselor, been doing it a long time. My wife's a doctor. She'll back up these statistics. Most gender confusion comes from physical abuse, emotional abuse, and psychological abuse. 100% of the clients we've ever seen over 20 years. Abuse. Emotional and hormonal abnormalities, and lots of bad choices. I'm just saying the world wants us to think something different. There's some things we can't choose. And when we come dead to ourselves and become born again, we become dead men. We give up our right to choose, and I forgot that. My pride says, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do that. Seems like a good idea. Was a criminal? Going to be a cop. I support criminals going to cops. 100% support them. 100%. Need them. But today, I want to talk about what ruined me was the root of pride. I have a slide, I think. I think I have a slide. We'll see how it goes today. No slide. All pride is us being very confused as to who is really in charge. All pride is us to being very confused to who's really in charge. Right? Pride, what is it good for? All right, Proverbs 16, let's jump in. This is an exciting topic. Be like, yeah, I was hoping for this one. Waiting. Should have skipped church today. Pride goes before destruction. The word pride there is a Hebrew word. Keep that scripture up. I'm slow rolling. Pride is the Hebrew word gawan, which means arrogant or exalted up. So pride, arrogance, self-exaltation goes before destruction. Puffed up pride is a surefire sign that destruction is coming. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before or prior to a fall. Every single time. Think of all your pride lessons, your humility lessons. Were you a little bit too sure of yourself? A little bit too sure of yourself. It was a sure bet. Cardinals were definitely going to win the Super Bowl. I should have won. Man. Pride into key insights in my life is Sean's needs, Sean's plans, Sean's purpose, Sean's skills, Sean's abilities. The big old fact was this. I forgot something, and God's been talking to me about it. You do not belong to yourself anymore. Stop making choices without talking to me first. Even if you think it's a good idea, give me a chance to say something before you just go and do it. Anybody else guilty of that? It was a good idea. God should bless it. It's biblical. Awesome. Just ask him. No. Just go and do it. I was born again now. I had a new life. I made an exchange. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, we were bought with a price. You were actually purchased. Purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. So then, honor and glorify God with your body, your whole body of work. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. Faith, by adhering to, by relying on, and completely trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's my new life. But I had plans. I had plans for that, and I had plans for Samoa. They're good plans. I thought I learned enough pride lessons. I had no idea one was coming. It took me by surprise. How arrogant. I don't belong to myself. When it comes to dealing with our pride, unfortunately, sometimes there's drastic steps needed. Like, drastic steps. When it comes to dealing with our pride, sometimes drastic is needed. What has to be done? Committed to do what needs to be done. Most of us have had real hard lessons, right? Lessons in our own lives, we presume things. And it left a mark. I have a scar. I limp. I don't forget that lesson. Every morning, every time I wake up and put my feet on the ground, that lesson stands there with me. I never forget the lesson on my knee. It's marked me. But I want us to learn, guys, lessons of pride from other people. Isn't that better? Who wants to learn a lesson about pride from Jacob? No, man, not that Jacob. Stop. You guys, get off Jacob's back. I'm talking about Jacob, the twin of Esau. Jacob, the one who God had to turn limping. He limped for the rest of his life. Why? He wrestled for God with a blessing. We use that a lot. I'm just wrestling with God. I won't tell you to stop. Then there's a guy called Show Off Joe. Yeah, Joe in his fancy coat. His brothers were so tired of Show Off Joe, they chucked him in a pit. Mm-hmm. It's hard to swallow sometimes, but like lessons from Jacob and Joe about being arrogant, we shouldn't be wrestling with God sometimes. And I saw this picture this week. I can't remember what was going on, but poor Bryson. At first, I thought, poor Bryson. He's over there on his tablet working, and my grandson Ephraim comes flying out of there like a ninja turtle on steroids. Ha! You know, he's off the top rope. Lands on top of Bryson. Bryson's just like, never noticed. Ephraim, you know, he's four. He's got him in a headlock, you know. And Bryson just goes, Ephraim slides off and lays there for a few minutes, you know. Then he's back on top of him. It's a wrestling match. On one of them, Ephraim was given 100%. Bryson's like, I wrestled my dad. I barely noticed you, you know. These permanent reminders we get from some of these things, whether he touches our hips and we limp forever, sometimes some of those lessons lead us to bitterness. Why would God allow that? Why would God, if he is a true loving God, why did he allow you to let your knee go? I'll tell you, I know the arrogant guy that was about to become the best undercover. I was Miami Vice in my own head before I even got the job. I was going to right wrongs, maybe be sheriff, you know? Often lessons of pride will leave lasting marks, you know? Hopefully, they make healthier change behaviors. Hopefully, lessons of pride cause us to make healthier changed behaviors. Say pride, it's gross. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, pride, this word for pride is zadong, means arrogance, presumptuous, proud, insolent, to seethe. Pride comes boiling up with an arrogant attitude. Pride comes boiling up with an arrogant attitude of self-importance. When pride comes boiling up, then disaster comes and shame. Here's a question right in the middle of scripture. Ever regret after you made a huge mess not asking for help? Ever done something, I got it, and it's an absolute mess. You might be sitting on the floor crying about it, or you might be like venting on Facebook, but you're upset because of the mess, But here's the reality. You knew you should ask for help. Pride. That's pride. Not just, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. No. That's prideful too. We'll pray for you. Wait, well, I know, Cowboy fans, settle down. Settle down. It's TV's brand new kid show. Don't worry about it. But sometimes it's our pride of, I'm not going to ask for help. I don't need no help. When pride comes, boiling up, then comes dishonor and disaster and shame. But with the humble, say the humble. The humble, the teachable, check this out. The teachable who have been chiseled by trial. The teachable who have been chiseled by trial. It sounds so tough and manly. But if you've ever been chiseled on, it sucks. Ever been chiseled on? Ow! Ow! There's sparks flying. Why? Because you fight it back. It's chiseling on me. I'm good. I'm not as bad as that guy. Oh, that's a prideful statement. Dang. The teachable who have been chiseled by trial. The humble, the teachable who have been chiseled by trial. And who have learned. Have we learned? Have we learned? Have we learned? Learned how to walk humbly with God. Don't wrestle him. When you're wrestling him, it's a lot like Ephraim trying to take on Bryson. At some point in time, I had to check on. I said, Ellie, go check and see if Bryson's into this like Ephraim seems to be. Right? She goes over there, you know, doesn't come back. I'm like, okay, Briella, you'll know the deal. Go over there. She goes, fun. She goes, oh, Bryson's into it. He's just doing his thing. You know, I go, awesome. He's a lot like God. He's like, I'll put up with this for a little bit. But we're like bulldogs. And sometimes if we don't stop wrestling with them, you're going to start limping after that fight. Learn our lesson. He's in charge. We are not. If you're saved, we became dead to ourselves. We don't make choices. We ask first, right? There is wisdom and soundness of mind for the humble. Anyone need wisdom? How about sound mind? All of you should be raising your hands. Pride, bad, stinky pride. Ready? Proverbs 13:10. Through pride and presumption, thinking it's actually okay without checking. Presumption, acting like you checked, but you really didn't. Presumptions, seems to make sense, so let's just do it. Pride, what is it good for? Exactly. Through pride and presumption come nothing but strife. Through pride and presumption come nothing but strife, but the skillful and godly wisdom is with those who welcome well-advised counsel. Who welcome well-advised counsel. Who go and welcome well-advised counsel. I don't know everything. Maybe I should get some wisdom about this. Well, I watched a video on YouTube. Yeah. Before you put that together, before you do surgery on this video you saw, get some consultation for some wisdom. Right. It's okay. I'm going to put a positive spin on right now, Shanzi, so don't stress it. Have you ever been so grateful for a time that you actually took hard advice? And we remember the times we messed up. Anybody go, man, I remember someone giving me hard advice and I hated it. I don't want to do that. But you took it and you did it and you're like, man, I'm so glad I did that. Anybody give me some hands so I know. Yeah, it's good. You took it, you did it, you took the wise counsel and you were stoked about it. But you ever not taken the wise counsel when they gave you hard advice and you regretted it? Anybody still regretting it? Man, I'd have been Dr. Phil if I listened to advice. Say, pride is ugly. James 4:6. But he gives us more and more grace. Grace through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit to what? Defy sin. The power of the Holy Spirit to live an obedient life. Those things are more valuable than the gifts. If you serve Jesus more than a minute and you're like, man, I can't wait. I want the gift of prophecy. How about just seek him to defy sin and be obedient? Like, man, that's a good gift. If you've ever had to defy sin, I've had to defy sin. Still to this day, I still have to defy it. I have to be obedient. There was opportunities to go to Samoa. People call and say, "Oh, you can use my house. You can do this." I go, "No. I know God's shutting that door. I'm not kicking it open. I want to kick it open, but I better live obedient. Because if I kick that open, maybe the wound that's coming is bigger than my knee." Through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life, a life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty. God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives grace to the humble. Anybody who need grace? Oh man, humble yourself. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride and sense of self-importance will bring him down. A man's pride and sense of self-importance will bring him down. This is the word of God. If you have an arrogance problem, like, you need to squash it. You let God humble you. But he who has humble spirit will obtain honor. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, say everyone, everyone, not to think more highly of himself than they ought to. Everyone should not think so great about themselves. Not be self-deprecating. I'm just a slimy snail. No, no. But you don't think, I'm the best. I'm good. I know more than you. My life's better than you. I can do this better than you. I'm better. My church is better. My everything's better. Bless God. Not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think so as to have sound judgment. For God has appointed to each a degree of faith and a purpose. Check this out. Designed for service. So here's a statement that I ate for a long time, and I probably spooned it out. And it seems good, but it's off. Don't be self-made. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-employed, self-made, grab myself by the bootstraps, get off the ground. Now, there's something for that. But don't think about self-made, but think about what have I been designed for. I may have made myself something, but what I've been designed for. I'm about to make myself something in a Myra PD, but that's not what I was designed for. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger men, if you're a younger man, raise your hand. Hey, I love that. They're young. Yes, Mark, get that hand up. That puts me in the close to younger man category. I'll take it. I was just waiting for one young man. Likewise, you young man, be subject to your elders. Seek their counsel. Seek their counsel. Get wise advice from the proven wise. You want to know how to avoid prison? Anybody? Any young guys like, I want to know how to avoid prison. You want to know how to avoid it? I want to tell you, go see Mark and Harold. Take them to lunch, and they'll tell you all sorts of ways to avoid it. That would be wise if you're like, man, I was thinking about life. What do you think about for a career? Just being a prisoner, 3 meals a day, AC, I got to worry about nothing. Okay. Why don't you go see Mark and Harold? They'll be wise. They'll give you counsel. The prisoner life is not for you, Younger men, seek their counsel. And all of you, say all of us. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Tie on a servant's apron for someone else. The proud, the disdainful, the presumptuous, he defeats them. But he gives grace to the humble. Pride, what's it good for? Sometimes when we read that section on pride, it says tie on a servant's apron. Have humility towards one another. What often happens in most churches, but not here? Someone else says, I hope someone's hearing that for me. When's someone going to serve me? What about me? I'm me. Where's my stuff? And I'm always serving. I hope Sue ties an apron on for me. But we don't hear that here. Say, I'm the church. I'm going to tie on a servant's apron. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust, the sensual cravings of the flesh, the lust and longing of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, the pretentious confidence in one's own resources, in one's own resources, the pretentious confidence in one's own resources, or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but from the world. That's where he drops the mic. See you, God. Nice word, you know. See, pride's disgusting. I got a picture to break it up. So make you guys go on. If this offends you, or if this is your foot, forgive me. Take a look at that. Is that disgusting? Is that disgusting? Yeah. Pride, it says, is disgusting. So whenever you think of prideful thing, think of that foot. Okay. I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it. Proverbs 16:5. Get the foot off. Okay. Proverbs 16:5. You ready for this? Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting. Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting. Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is a dirty foot. Oh, sorry. It's disgusting. Oh, check this out. The rest of that scripture is even harder. It's disgusting and exceedingly offensive. Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured. Be assured. God's doing a guarantee on something. He's dropping a like, be assured, like take this to the bank. He will not go unpunished. Actually, God promises he's going to correct stuff when he sees it out of line, even if it costs us a limp. Why? Because he loves us. Don't be racing to hell. I got to stop your walk. What do you mean? Oh, you would have had such a problem. I can tell you the problems I could have had. I used to have a past. I wasn't healed from my past fully yet. Maybe I get caught up in something. Before I know it, I ruined my life on stuff I thought I would have been delivered from because I was working vice. You got to do a little candy to catch the candy bandit. If you don't know, that's okay. God, you don't. Actually, God promises, he assures, it's not going to go unpunished, so let's not be disgusting. Right. Say, ugly pride. Proverbs 16:19. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide spoil with the proud, haughty, and arrogant. Do I have a slide for that? Do I have a slide? Better to live with little the right way than to get the paycheck of the proud. Better to live with little the right way than get the paycheck of the proud. Time to check our pride, see if we've been disgusting. Lord, have I been a foot? Man. Proverbs 18:12. Before disaster, the heart of man is haughty and filled with self-importance, but humility comes before honor. Learn humility first, and then it leads to honor. If you're looking to get honor, and you've not learned the lesson of humility, you'll just become a tyrant. Say harmony. It's time to talk about harmony. Humility paves the road for harmony. And this, in my picture, in my head, the picture of harmony was this. I have a photo. Ebony and ivory, living together. Oh, then you don't know it. Harmony, right? It was all, yeah, yeah. Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder, Ebony and Ivory, harmony. Say harmony. Yeah, I want that. I want to be in harmony again. Pride is the opposite of producing harmony. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Do not be conceited. Do not be self-important. Do not be exclusive. But associate with humble people. Do not overestimate yourself. Do not overestimate yourself. Pride always leads to trouble, right? You're like, Pastor, get over with it quick. I'm doing good. I'm actually early. It feels like I'm not, huh? But it is. Pride always leads to trouble. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish. Do nothing from selfish. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. Do nothing through fractional motives or strife. Say, keep us in harmony, Lord. Yeah, nothing through factional motives. Nothing like, I'm going to stick it to them. They stuck it to me. No. That's not who the church is. Try to live in harmony. You don't got to call out other people's pride because that's pride. What is it good for? But with an attitude of humility. I got to change my attitude, okay? With an attitude of humility, be there neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourself. This is another one, not to think of your neighbor. Don't think about your spouse. Don't think about the person you want to give you attention. Think about you. Regard others as more important than ourselves. Tie on an apron. It's not what my neighbor should do for me. It's what I should do for my neighbor. We choose humility. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he will exalt you to a place of honor in his service. Check the next line out. What's it say? At the appropriate time. At the appropriate time. You'll get a place of honor. Do the thing at the appropriate time. Say this. There's always an appropriate time. Ah, I hate waiting for appropriate times. Anybody else hate waiting for appropriate times? I hate it. I see it. God said it. Let's get that. You know, let's go. No, there's an appropriate time. I know, but it's good. I want it. It's good. Your word says I can have it. Everyone says, cool, go. I said, no. You got to wait for my appropriate time. The perfect time. I was thinking about this week. I've been praying, obviously, more intensely. Lord, keep me more in rhythm than I've ever been. Keep me. And I realized, people are saying, well, you could come here. You could come there. Come visit us. And I realized this. There's a perfect place he wants me to be. And any place that's not the perfect place for me is dangerous. We're not going to be perfect with all of our choices. We've got to trust that he is guarding our lives. But if I never ask him, I just assume it's cool. Why? Because my buddy gave me a ski chalet. I'll just go there. Why? Because he gave it to me and it would make sense. It was provided right in the moment. I should definitely go. That's a sign from God. I'm not even going to ask him. Pride. Huh. What is it good for? Lots of destruction. Say it again. I'm tired of limping. I don't get 100%, but I am tired of limping. I don't want marks left in my life because of decisions I made that should have just left in God's hands. Decisions I knew that he wanted me to do, and I just presumed to do what I wanted to do. Proverbs, no more pride, 8:13. The reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way. Yeesh, I should have stopped here. And the perverted mouth I hate. You hear that? Hold on. The perverted mouth I hate. Now listen. That's crickets. Say humility. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And my people who are called by my name, they'll humble themselves, pray and seek. What seek mean? Crave, requires necessity, my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then, there's a lot of stuff before he hears us. Did you ever notice that? I just tell God everything I want. It's like a slot machine in heaven. Just put those prayers in and eventually, cha-ching! If my people will humble themselves, realize it's not your will, it's not your way, it's not your want. It's not your life. Remember, I told you I forgive you from all your sins. Remember that guy? Remember that guy should have been dead? Remember him? I told you I will forgive you completely. All you have to do is trust me as Savior. I become the Lord, and your life is no longer your own. I will purchase you from hell. Are you down with that? I was like, yeah. What'd you forget about the agreement? You forgot the agreement. You picked up your life again, and you're trying to drive your own bus. Pride. What is it good for? He says, but if you know what, if you humble yourself and you'll seek my face, like what my wisdom says, and you'll seek it and you'll crave it, and you'll turn from the stuff I already told you to stop doing, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. Say no more pride. I think this is my last scripture. Aren't you glad? Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord with reverent awe and obedience, and turn entirely away from evil. Maybe next week I'm going to do maybe a little mini series before I take off about the wisest man in the world and things we could learn from him. Wouldn't that be great to get counsel from the wise? But I don't know if this little mini series, little sermon, this little mini drop bomb, if there's things in your life like, Pastor, you don't raise your hand here. Pastor, this hit me in my heart in a way that you can't imagine right now. And I need prayer. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm going to have everybody stand because I'm going to pray for all of us. Because I said, warn everyone. I said, warn everyone. Warn everyone. Hey, dude. Nice glasses. Oscar. So if you would disagree with me, if you stand in prayer, the church, we'd not be presumptuous this year. We'd not be arrogant. We'd not be self-important. We wouldn't look to be served. But we would be the church. We would be the worship team. And we tie an apron on. And whoever things in your life, maybe you've had some injuries and some woundings, some hard lessons learned. Trust me, I'm not judging you. I live still. I'm out about $7,000. If I was Team USA, I lost the game yesterday. I know you've lost your own games. I pray this year, Father, that pride would never motivate anybody in this room. Father, not only would we not be arrogant, Father, we wouldn't be falsely humble, but we'd be truly humble. And we would truly seek your face. We'd truly turn from our ways. And you would heal our land. Heal our land, we ask, Lord. Make us the humble hands that can be involved with the process. In Jesus' name, amen.